Brief reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians. For as many as who are baptized into Christ become one body with Christ, for there is no distinction. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. He's, of course, quite wrong. It's clear to anybody that there is, in fact, distinctions, male and female. Slave and free, then and now in different ways. Jew and Greek and German and ethnic and all manners of ways. We are different. We are distinct. But are we? In Christ, Paul says, those distinctions are without difference. He's speaking to a church that is seeking to find commonality in Christ apart from its Jerusalem and Jewish root. And the big question that was confronting the Galatian church was, if we're going to be Christian, do we have to become Jews first and do all that? Or can we simply be Christian as people of a foreign land? And Paul's rejoinder is, all are one. These distinctions are without difference. Distinction without difference. You know, everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. And have we not had flaky weather the last couple, three, 4 weeks? Anybody you know, everybody knows somebody that's been trying to save plants and, you know, with and without success, I guess. This is twisted, and I admit that at the outset. I'm a big fan of news stories that talk about airports shut down by weather. I'm much a bigger fan of airports shut down by weather when I'm not in one. But here's the deal. Among all industries and service providers, airlines especially, seem hyper-concerned with creating distinctions between flyers and frequent flyers and gold-level frequent flyers and super double secret platinum titanium no one other like you kind of frequent flyers, right? And all that brings about special privileges. You know, we want to, you get to get on the plane first and you can sit in the front row and we'll give you a free, etc. Until weather shuts it all down. And there is no distinction. I'm a big fan of that. Cinco de Mayo today illustrates in another way how we are more alike than different, and that some of these distinctions are without difference. I know it's not Mexican Independence Day. There are nuances about that. I get that part. But it's a day where people take a great deal of ethnic pride and celebrate with food and fireworks and ice cream, and sounds a lot like the 4th of July to me. And we know what that's like. You know, I think it's interesting in the church liturgical year that Passover really is repristinated or recreated in our celebration of Holy Communion. We are essentially recreating Passover with a twist. Ramadan, a feast or time, I should say the actual lack of feasting in Muslim tradition is very much like the season of Lent. And Lent, Easter, and Ramadan, and Passover are essentially three ways of telling the same story by three different sets of people in, by and large, the same part of the world at more or less the same period of time. You know, those distinctions maybe have less differences than we think. I like the idea of, at least to some extent, no distinction. Okay, this is twisted too. There's another way that we're alike. Paul records this for us in the New Testament. He says, there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I think that's good news. Told you it was twisted. There's an interesting way in which we are united, even as sinners fallen short, because of what it might bring about in our own way of thinking, and even in our own behavior. We tend to look at people differently For example, people who are recipients of charity. People who are recipients of charity from nonprofits like the food bank or from the government through entitlement programs and so on. We like to see ourselves as us and them, but I don't have to think back very far in my own life to when I was a recipient of charity of a different sort, but no less in some ways undeserved, you know. And I think it wouldn't be hard for any of us to recall a pivotal moment in our lives, maybe, when, especially perhaps undeserved, we caught a break. We caught a break and it changed our lives. And you never know whether even something like a box of food or an opportunity to have a child vaccinated or whatever it is might be a pivotal moment in somebody's life where they look back and they say, you know what, I caught a break there. And I need to change in some way for the better. I need to, if in no other way, be grateful or pay it forward the next time I have a chance. All of us, have we not caught a break? That makes me, I think, it makes me more generous in my thinking about recipients of charity, and I think that's useful. It's useful to me. I also consider having sinned and fall short of the glory of God exemplified by lapses of judgment. You know, I ask my students, who's got a page in your high school yearbook that is in memory of somebody? And most of them do. And for how many of you, I say, does the reason that that memorial page is in that yearbook result from a terrible lapse in judgment? And that's mostly the case. And then, you know, here's the tricky part of this sequence of ideas. For how many of you can you recall a moment in your life when you made a judgment call that was similarly lapsed, and for no other reason than dumb luck, you didn't get hurt. You got away with it. We have, all of us, I think, because we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we have gotten away with lapses of judgment, more or less. I think that makes me, anyway, a little bit more tolerant of those whose lapses in judgment have cost them dearly. There may come a time when a subsequent lapse of judgment on my part costs me more than I can imagine, and I live with that. And because I know I live with that, I become a little more tolerant, at least when I remember that I live with that. I also know that part of falling short of the glory of God involves doing things that have hurt other people that love me and for which I need forgiveness. I've been lucky in that I have been wonderfully forgiven more than once, sometimes for the same stupid thing that I have a hard time not continuing to do. That sound familiar to anybody? Now, forgiving someone doesn't necessarily mean you should let them watch your house when you're on vacation or take care of your kids. Understand that part. But what it mostly means is taking stock of the situation and making a conscious decision to stop letting this wreck your life, to move forward from it and understand that, you know what, this is just one of the ways we are all alike. I think it is good news that these are distinctions without differences in terms of catching a break or a lapse of judgment, or even doing something, or failing to do something, or failing to prevent something that requires forgiveness. I think that that's ultimately good news, that we are one in Christ, because not only have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, all are justified by His grace as a gift. Justified by His grace as a gift. Imagine receiving a gift so valuable that it wipes out all the rest of those lapses of judgment or terrible things. Among the probably top five most useful insights from social science is Carl Rogers' notion that what you most disown in other people, in other words, what bugs you the most about other people, are probably those same things you disown in yourself. Those are the same things you have a hard time seeing in yourself, not because you can't see them, it just hurts when you do, when you look in the mirror. That when somebody is doing something that's driving you nuts, in one sense, it's reminding you that you are capable of that as well. What you most disown in others are the things you are least likely to want to confront in yourself. And the good news for us is that God confronted them for us and decided, for no other reason than he loves us, to have his body broken and his blood shed, and to create out of that for us the body of Christ, which in just a second we will share, and in so doing also become. There was no other reason for God to choose to send Jesus to live with us, to die for us, to rise again, and to create out of us, quite literally again, his own body. Other than God decided we were worth it. And any time we find ourselves perhaps even uncommonly generous in our spirits or tolerant of things that we aren't always tolerant of or extending a hand in forgiveness, well, that's kind of a thank you note. It's kind of a way of saying thank you for this uncommonly amazing and completely undeserved gift that sends us from here with gratitude and perhaps a little bit more today than not, in peace with ourselves and at peace with one another. Amen.